That's not the issue. The issue is that this fucking weirdo that you just met at the bar suddenly brings out the dungeon kit. And, you know, if you haven't had like lengthy conversations and established some trust, I think most women are going to balk.
Start crying. Yeah.
Be nonplussed, as you say. Hello, and welcome to Your Mileage, My Diary. We talk about sex and relationships with frankness that is often controversial, but mostly in good faith. We apologize for missing last week's show. Hopefully, we'll make up for it with an especially good one today. To that end, we're going to discuss how to tell when a woman is orgasmed, whether women appreciate marathon sex sessions, cream pie cleanup, and more.
Ew.
And Keith, my co-host, is Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Keith. Where are you at?
I am in Boston.
Boston, Massachusetts?
Yes.
That's cool. What for?
I am running the marathon this coming Monday.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Is that some sort of like, is it hard to get into that marathon, or do you have to qualify or something?
You do have to qualify.
All right.
Actually, apparently there are 30,000 people in it and about half of them qualified, or maybe only 10,000 qualified. And the other two thirds or half get in through various charity and corporate.
I see.
Methods.
Lottery. Is there a lottery even, or is it just?
There isn't. No. Well, maybe there are for some of those other slots, but.
Okay. So which charity did you qualify through?
I qualified because I am a fast runner.
Oh, great. So you actually qualified via the time method.
Yeah. That's qualified great. By like 25 minutes.
What does that mean?
There's a qualifying time based on your age. And then, because more people apply that actually meet the standard than there are slots, they start subtracting time off the qualifying times until they get the number about right. And this year, the actual Boston qualifying time was the stated qualifying time minus 4 or something. I don't know. I don't know what it was because I qualified by like 25 minutes. So I didn't
So you didn't have to worry about
sweat
that.
Sweat it out.
Specifics. Yeah. What is the oldest age? Like if you're like 80 years old, do they have like a really slow time you can qualify with?
It's still pretty quick.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but it's not. Look, there aren't that many 80-year-olds. For 80-year-olds, maybe they just say, come on in. And then the four people who can possibly manage it show up.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So you're preparing and it's this coming Monday.
Right.
Cool.
And I came out a week early to catch the eclipse, which by the time we post this, everyone will be tired of eclipse content. But the eclipse was cool.
It was cool. Mm-hmm. I saw a wedding ceremony that was performed during the eclipse in Arkansas, and every single person I saw was obese. This was on the news.
That sounds stereotypically correct.
Yes. Yeah.
These are obese eclipse chasers or eclipse lovers.
They were lovers because they wanted to get married, I guess, during the totality.
I see. Now, what percentage of these people do you think have some non-zero belief in astrology?
More than 5%.
I mean, astrology and astronomy, of course, are not related.
Right.
I mean, astrology isn't related to anything because it's fake. But
what do you mean, Keith?
To the extent it's not, I think astrology says some nonsense about the moon and the stars and the planets.
Right. I saw a thing. What was it? It might have been on TikTok where somebody was asking if anybody knows the exact hour they were born.
Yeah.
But they would. That's astrology, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I do know the exact hour I was born, but I was disinclined to do it because I figured it was voodoo.
It is voodoo. There's some location. So there's some chart you can get that's not just your star sign, which I think is the classic thing that everyone knows.
Sure.
But then there's like a moon rising or it's some horseshit. I don't know what it is. But to get the further distillation, you need your place of birth by like Latin long, I think.
Okay.
And then the time of birth to the minute, okay. I believe.
You know, Keith, I was delivered by a black man.
I didn't. Congrats.
Does that play a role?
No. Although you can imagine. I mean, it's all made up stuff, right? Like it's not, you can imagine like whether the doctor was left or right-handed. If you're just making stuff up, right?
Sure. Okay.
Certainly their race could matter.
Yeah. There you go. That's why I'm such like a civil rights warrior.
Yeah.
I think. I've always thought that.
Yeah. You've stunned me with your bringing up of race again.
Social justice.
Yeah. I'm going to move on. Do you wear deodorant every day?
No.
Why?
Because with the advent of work from home, there are many situations where I just don't have to do anything during the day where being odoriferous would make a difference.
Okay. So just for clarification, you're claiming that it's not that you don't smell, it's that you do smell, but it doesn't matter.
Correct. Yes.
I find a lot of people who don't wear deodorant regularly have this belief that they don't need it.
That makes sense. I mean, how do you...
It makes sense that they would need that incorrect belief to decide that they don't need to wear deodorant.
How do you get to this point in a conversation, though, with somebody? How do you, like, what... Okay, so you say to them, why aren't you... You say to them, you stink. And they say, what?
I don't know.
Like, how does it come up?
It comes up for me because I will be dating somebody.
Okay.
And I will notice that she occasionally is not wearing deodorant.
So you're saying it's typically women?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
My dad occasionally doesn't wear deodorant, and I've brought it up with him. And yeah, he has this like mistaken belief that he doesn't need it sometimes.
Okay.
My sisters and I have been on him for decades about this. We're not getting anywhere. But other people do as well. And it's most affects me with people I date because I guess I'm most physically proximate to them.
And how are you able to deduce that they think they don't need it?
I mean, it's a very sensitive thing to bring up. And,
okay. You
know, women, maybe disproportionately to men, have been affected by... There was some news story or some belief in the 90s that the zinc in antiperspirant or some deodorants...
The aluminum, go on.
Whatever it was, it could cause some sort of increased cancer risk. Now, that has since been debunked.
Just it was Alzheimer's.
Like, okay. You sound like a bit of an expert on this, Mike.
I just remember the fake news on it.
Okay. Yeah. It was fake news, just like MSG, which is often in Chinese food, doesn't cause any issues either. But for like decades, Chinese restaurants would have like no MSG stickers that they would put on their takeout bags and on their menus. So you're just like addressing a fake hysteria. I think some women, there's a big booming business for these like organic deodorants that are just fucking tree bark and coconut oil or some nonsense.
And they don't
charge $17.99 for it.
Right. That's smart.
It is smart, but, those cynical capitalists are sort of creating a problem for me because they have convinced a generation of women that deodorant is not good for you. And if you are going to wear it, you need to wear stuff that is not effective.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's just annoying. And then I have to have a conversation like this, but a lot more delicately. And just like the women I've dated that believe in astrology, convincing someone that they're wrong about some thing that they believe medically is effectively impossible.
What is the nature of this conversation typically? I'm trying to imagine. So you say, honey, I have something to talk to you about.
So, you know, the approach needs to be sort of circuitous.
Right.
And I might try something like, hey, honey, are you wearing deodorant today? And then they will say,
yes.
No, why? Yeah. Or, yes, I used my own concoction of lemon juice and seltzer water.
Okay.
Why is it not working? And then I'll say like, oh, I was just curious. But I've planted the seed, you see. And they will now bring it up with me. And they'll be like, oh, you know, do I smell bad? And you know, now you have to still be delicate and be like, well, no, not really. But like sometimes I can tell.
What percentage of women that you date do you have to do this with?
Honestly, Mike, I break up with people before I need to have this conversation, and it might factor into breakups, like, because it is a hard conversation. And I know that even if it goes in like the 95th percentile best possible way, like I'm probably not going to fully reform them. And if I'm sort of so-so on someone, this would be like a big reason to
And the situation where you would detect the odor would be you're on a date where you know they've showered beforehand.
Yeah.
Is that?
I mean, some people are more sweaty than others.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't take vigorous exercise to cause body odor.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, especially.
Well, some people think, yeah, so setting aside the like organic deodorant nonsense, some people think they don't actually smell.
Well, typically people, it's, I was going to say people don't smell to themselves, but that's actually not true because if you take your running shorts and you smell them, they do smell, you can smell yourself.
It's
surprising how bad, because you think your nose isn't that far from your crotch.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. I don't really understand completely what's going on there. Why the cotton or whatever fabric becomes so
maybe it's
pungent.
Part of it's like wicking properties that it, you know, the water all evaporates, but the funk lingers.
Yeah. But you'd have to assume that it would smell around the same as your skin. Maybe the bacteria is able to multiply.
It's
more.
Concentrated.
Yeah.
Well, maybe because of the evaporation.
Yeah. But I mean, ultimately the smell is due to bacteria, I assume. Although I don't.
Yes. Sure. Presumably.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe they get concentrated in there. And also because it's a fabric instead of a sort of smooth surface like your skin, they're able to kind of hang out in there, build little homes and so forth. Yeah. Anyway, yes, people, yeah. I understand that people convince themselves of that they're wrong. In general.
They are. And so it's just a difficult conversation because, you know, I'm dating adults, like their worldview is sort of formed and this is pretty shattering of it. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
And you haven't gotten there with your dad yet. Or no, you have, but it hasn't.
I have.
It just doesn't work.
I mean, getting my dad's in his 70s, getting him to reform on anything is basically impossible.
That makes sense.
But yeah, like I think people think what they think about their grooming and hygiene habits, and they're a little bit hard to bump off of them.
Sure, sure.
All right, let's talk about sex. So we've covered this topic many times, but this had an interesting slant on it, so I wanted to do it again. How do men know when women orgasm? This is written by a woman. Every time I'm with a guy, I ask if they've made a woman orgasm, and they always 100% say yes. I follow up with, how do you know? And most of the time they falter and say, I think I did. As somebody who's only had one guy give me an orgasm, I find it funny that guys think that they've given a woman one when they haven't. And it's obvious because they only do PIV and rub my clit like they're starting a fire. Mm-hmm. So men, how do you know if your lady friend had an orgasm? So the interesting slant here was, we talked about this, but yeah, lots of women don't know if they've had an orgasm. And so like being irritated that men can be a little bit confused about this thing seems like the wrong place to start. That's like downstream of the real problem here.
Let's see. I mean, for this woman in particular, it's not because she presumably does know.
That's a fair point.
But
her irritation, like these men may have been in several situations prior to her where someone said they were orgasming when they weren't, or someone didn't know if they were, you know, they were having these wave-like orgasms where they, you know, are orgasming for 12 minutes straight. It's like, okay.
Yes.
You know, so there's all these various things that may have muddled the man's experience in the past. I mean, when a man orgasms, it's obvious. There's pulsing and this weird white fluid everywhere. But when a woman does, she may or may not announce, and you know, there's sort of you're hoping for some sort of feedback maybe, but you know, maybe it accelerated breath, some flushed something, but it's not as simple as this woman imagines. I don't think.
Yeah, there, by the way, there is the top post. I just know this from today. The top post on the NSFW411 subreddit was someone looking for, what are they really specifically looking for? They were looking for a subreddit for women having rolling orgasms. Just continuously orgasm until your dick can't take it anymore and you pop. All right. So there is a subreddit for this. It's called She's Still Coming. It's like one word, she's still coming.
Should rename it, she's still not coming.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you watch it, well, I mean, like one of the posts on there right now, where is it? Multi-orgasmic BBW has 100 orgasms during 30-minute fuck. She counts out each one.
This is tricky not because, you know, some people are listening to our show for the first time, so they don't know our like long history of conversation about this. But some women do have a thing where they have an obvious orgasm, right? They build up. There's some sort of release, usually with some sort of spasmatic contraction. And then they're sensitive for seconds or minutes afterwards as they have like the female equivalent of refracting. So that is definitely an orgasm. Lots of women also describe this wave-like thing, which, as we've discussed, may or may not be an orgasm by our definition. But right. These women who experience it think they're orgasming. And so it's tricky.
Well, yeah, that gets to the bottom of the point you're talking about here, which is that for the man to be sure what's going on, he's already kind of like behind the eight ball a little bit because he doesn't know. He's basing it on self-reports from women that could be faulty. So he's the victim of an unreliable narrator from the women already.
Well, yeah. And I will also say I have been with a handful of women who do like, what was the expression this woman used? It was pretty funny. Oh, rub her clit like they're starting a fire. Yeah, I've been with a few women who, yeah, like no amount of pressure on their clit is enough. Like they really like aggressive rubbing.
That can't be totally true. I mean, there's a level of pressure that would be too much.
Oh, maybe.
If you started using your fingernails.
Sure. Fine. Or a mallet.
Pair of pliers. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So there's a limit. But you're saying basically with using garden variety, normal sexual methodologies, they're going to always ask for it harder.
Correct.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I would get tired. I remember dating this one person years ago, and I actually bought one of those grip strengtheners that rock climbers use. And I would use it when I was sitting at my desk, hoping that I could.
Did that help?
I think the relationship didn't last long enough. I think fingers, who knows, maybe. I think finger strength takes a long time to build up.
Right.
Like to get 10% more finger strength takes longer than it takes to get 10% more bicep strength.
Yeah. I do think, though, it's curious that men appear to be, given the amount of interest that men obviously have in this topic broadly, men want to witness female orgasms.
Yeah.
You look at just like the popular searches on porn sites, you know that. And yet men seem unwilling to put in a moderate amount of research to understand what the actual orgasmic response is. This actually fits into a general category for me that I'm often surprised how willing people are to go through their lives with just very limited information about how the world works.
Yeah. Like whether or not they need deodorant.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yes. Very similar kind of thing. It's like, how are people so sort of blind or just ignorant? They're just ignoring these basic things.
Yes.
But obviously from what you hear about women say, like this woman's complaint comports with what I've heard many, many times, which is that guys just don't appear curious or interested in figuring this out, even though they're very interested in seeing the outcome of it. They don't want to know how the machine operates.
Yes, they have incentive to care.
Right. Huge incentive.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But
I agree strongly with her that like most of these men are, I mean, obviously she's actually her comment post kind of turned me on a little bit because it was so up my alley. I was like, this is... She's basically saying something I instinctively agree with, that most men are not. They're just crazy if they think they know what's going on there.
Yeah. I mean, her complaint is fair, but I think that her complaint is understandable. I'm not sure it's entirely fair.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. It's not fair because guys are not getting good feedback from women.
Yes, my advice to her would be to give to think carefully about like what it is that she likes down there, and then to give the guy a checklist and tell him what to do. But like women are so uncomfortable telling men what to do, and so
it's also, I mean,
she's like hoping that he's going to happen upon it, like. he's seen the fire starter method when watching porn, and it seems intuitively like that might do something because men like sort of vigorous stroking at times when they're masturbating. So like you can see why men try that by default, but she needs to coach him. And yeah, I don't.
But I mean, I've been in this situation before where you're with a woman who is not doing what it's going to take, and it is uncomfortable to sort of guide her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's...
Yeah. We've been through this before, right? I have, like, my encyclopedia of tricks, and I try all of them and hope for, like, some sort of audio feedback to...
I'm saying if a woman is doing a bad job stimulating me.
Oh.
Like, the opposite direction, you can have the same problem, right? Where it's like, well...
Yeah. Yes, but the error bar, the amount of sort of bad technique that a man can tolerate is higher.
Well, tolerate, but it's just not going to get you there, right?
I mean, it might eventually, but yeah, fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some bad hand jobs and gotten there. Of course, I was a teenager.
It makes me curious about what they were doing. Just calloused hands.
Who knows? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Never really want a hand job in the first place.
Right.
I mean, if it's all you can get, sure, but.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. All right. This person says, my husband sexually stimulates me for hours before intercourse and afterwards. Whenever my husband and I are gonna have sex, he will start by stimulating me first. All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Starts by soft touches and moves to my nipples eventually, in which I get extreme sexual satisfaction and wave after wave of orgasms. All right. Eye roll.
Now I'm getting suspicious.
He will continue to touch me for at least 1 hour. On some occasions, he has done it for even 3 hours. Then, at some point, we will have sex, which would last between a few minutes or on a good day, like 15 minutes. Okay, sounds about right. During this sex, he enjoys it and comes. Then he is done with his part, and he'll wash and come back and continue to touch me. And I will continue to have orgasms for hours on occasion. But sometimes I feel guilty about all of this. He gets pleasure for like 15 minutes max during this 4 or 5 hour period. And I always ask what I can do to make it better. He says he enjoys the touching and sucking nipples, playing with breast part as well. But I doubt it's as orgasmic as mine. What can I do to make his life better? I even give him blowjobs before intercourse. But still, the time spent of him getting pleasure is not that long. Is this even normal? No, it's not. I like my partner to have a good time, and I'm willing to put some work in. But it sounds like these people have been together for a long time. And like, I'm willing to put in time at like a 3-to-1 ratio, say, where I do 3 times the work that she does, quote unquote work. But this is like, 100-to-1 ratio.
I'm also curious. I don't really understand how she could be enjoying this.
Right. So
it's too long.
Sorry. That was the first thing I wrote in my notes here, which is like, does a woman actually want this?
Well, even if you think of, I mean, let's say you go to a, you know, it doesn't have to be a hand job massage parlor, but just a nice place to get a massage. Like, how long would you actually want sort of, you know, let's say it's not a sports massage where they're kind of kneading you really forcefully. For kind of a, you know, pleasure, like a massage just to relax you. I mean, I think an hour and a half would be kind of the upper limit before you just be like, I'm tired of having this person rub my body.
Yeah.
So it's a little, and then it's when you bring in sexual stimulation to it, it's, I don't know. I mean, look, I mean, women complain, I guess a baby when he's sucking on a nipple is going, he or she is going to be pretty more aggressive. But I mean, there's a point where women's nipples get chapped. Kind of, there's a limitation there. So it's a little strange that it makes me think she's losing track of time. Although,
yeah,
her 5 to 15 minute thing was.
That sounded right.
Right. So that made me a little.
Still, it might be dilating or whatever the opposite of dilating is, distending. Yeah.
But she.
When she's thinking about the other thing. But I mean, okay. I mean, if I were her, every time this guy cozied up to me, I would be like, oh man, here we go. You know, like, let's say it's 6 PM. We're not going to be done until midnight. Like, this
right. She has nothing better to do.
Yeah.
So really she's in for it's like Netflix and chill, but it's,
yeah. I mean, she talks about these wave-like orgasms, and if she's experiencing that, maybe women who have that experience like having it for hours on end.
Well, I mean, I can vibe with that, or I can relate to it from the standpoint of like a massage or something like that. You can be very relaxed, like maybe on the edge of sleep, like you're very, it's just a very nice experience. I can sort of see that. But the problem I have with that is that when people start stimulating sexually, there's like a little bit of a bite to that that's kind of going the opposite direction. Yeah. So it's not really relaxing in the same way.
Right.
And it's a little hard for me to understand how somebody would want that simultaneously. Yeah, I mean, but look, maybe the primary thing she's getting out of it is just like attention and him caring for her. These are things like women generally care a lot about. So she's just like, yeah, oh, he's paying attention to me.
It does sound affectionate.
Yes. But that's a long time. I mean, you'd think she would need, there would be situations where she'd need to take a phone call or something, maybe sign a contract.
Use like the restroom.
Yeah, exactly. She's got some other things going on.
Yeah.
Have a sandwich.
Okay. All right. Well, you agree. This is also, how could this be sustainable for either party?
Right. Yeah. I mean, even
maybe that's why she's asking.
Even in, I mean, I've thought about this before. Let's say you're in college and you're having your one of the first five sexual encounters with a new partner as a guy. Even in that situation, I don't think like you're not going to have 5 hours of sex. You might have an hour or an hour and a half or something. But five hours, like even in that situation where the guy has the absolute maximum incentive to do as much as he can, I think it's just not going to last this long. I just think she's inaccurate. This reminds me of the thing where women say their partner has an 8-inch penis. They're just like, they're doing a bad job kind of measuring something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if I were handicapping what's really going on here, that would be the odds-on favorite. She's just confused about the time.
Yeah, but it could be 45 minutes. That's totally plausible.
Yeah. But, I mean, even 45 minutes before and after would be
unusual. You'd be much more interested in packing that time in on the before part than in the after as well, right?
The post-orgasm clarity would make petting her for 2 hours. I mean, at some point, I'm going to get aroused again, but...
Right. And then there'd be that extra lubrication, presumably.
I think of my semen. Yeah, great.
Yes.
I think there's something wrong with this guy. I don't know exactly what, but...
He's on the spectrum?
I don't know if that correlates, but I think that he has... I don't know.
What does that do, actually? What happens? I've never thought about this before. What happens when autistic people want to have sex? Does that alter their... Do they have sex differently?
I have a friend who's on the spectrum who would probably come on the show. We could bring him on to talk about it.
All right. Yeah, because a lot of being on the spectrum relates to interpersonal stuff, right? Like how you relate to other people difficulty, I guess, reading the body language and facial language of other people. And so I would think that could be pretty complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. This friend is pretty articulate. He would, definitely have things to say.
He's not an incel. He has had relationships.
He has had relationships. Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about cream pies. How do you clean up after he comes inside of you? I feel so silly that at 26, I don't know, but every time he finishes inside of me, I know I'm in for 48 hours of unpleasantries. Instantly after, I go pee and I try and push it out. Most of it seems to come out. Then the next day, when I stand up, walk around, laugh, cough, my undies are soaked with semen and discharge. Sometimes it drips down my leg. It leaves an unpleasant smell. Makes sense. Not revolting, but I'd rather not walk around smelling like cum and pussy juices that have been brewing inside me overnight. Not a beginner in sex, but definitely in cream pies, LOL. I feel like I'm so alone in this. My friend has mentioned before that her boyfriend does it inside her every single day, but I'm not comfortable asking how she manages it because I feel so stupid. Is her experience normal?
I don't think so. I think there could be like some sort of anatomical variation here or something going on. I mean, I think the normal experience is not 48 hours of large. I mean, first of all, like the quantity.
I think for a couple hours.
Right.
Yeah.
The quantity that's put in there just isn't that high and well, the vast yeah, and majority it of it, right. But the vast majority of it's going to come out when she's on the toilet. Right. So it's not, so there's going to be a very small amount left, and then running down her leg, like that's suggestive of something else going on there. Like, actually it's suggestive to me that it's maybe she's incontinent, that it's urine. I'm not sure. It's suggestive that there's something coming from her body, not his. Just because, look, for it to run down, for something to run down your leg, that already requires a fair amount of it.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, so yeah, what percentage of it could be left after she's on the toilet? Like 10%? I mean, it's just not,
I don't know.
Be enough.
And I bet it varies on like what position the man orgasmed in.
Based on, you mean like
how deep it's up there or something?
You think that based on the way a guy sort of the positioning of their bodies, he might be able to sort of get it in there in a more sticky way. So it doesn't,
I don't know. That was my thought, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think that's right. I mean, for one thing, you know, semen sort of turns more liquid after a period of time.
Yeah.
And
I don't
so
love that, but normally I dispose of it before.
You prefer it when it's more mucousy and viscousy.
Yeah.
Viscous.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, look, I don't prefer is a wrong word. I'm disgusted by it slightly less.
Because it's easier to kind of wrangle?
I think so, yeah.
And when it becomes more fluid, you're just sort of, now you are dealing with something that could run down a leg.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, maybe she's not getting any of it out. Maybe she's really tight.
Hmm. I like that answer.
Yeah, she's incredibly tight.
I'm just trying to imagine what her like failure modes might be here. Like, okay, all right. She tries to pee. That's the number one advice everyone would give here. I don't know if the peeing actually flushes much out, but like the process of like having your vagina over a toilet bowl and opening it presumably has gravity push it out. Can they like Kegel some of it out too?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can sort of put bear down and push some of it
out. And does that, can they do that with things other than, like, can they do that with period blood? Can they do that with discharge, or is it?
Well, I mean, you know they can do it with ping pong balls.
Yes.
Because I've seen these videos.
Right, same.
So, there are, I mean, but it's going to, if you aren't able to make, like, a vacuum seal, then obviously your ability to influence what happens in there will be more limited because you can't. Push it out in the same way. And it's not like pooping where there's other poop behind it or when there's also, it's that, and you have like
a muscle,
a coordinated set of muscles. Right.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. So that activity gets out X percent. You hypothesized 90. So now there's 10% left in there. Now with most women, let's say that part is normal. She has the same amount left over as most women. So,
yeah.
So then where might she be failing? Well, does some, is there, you know, it, I think it gets absorbed in the vaginal wall or something.
No. I mean, not to a meaningful extent, no.
So what does it evaporate?
What do you mean?
Like, where does it go? Where does that other 10% go?
Oh, I think there is some amount of like leakage that the woman would experience subsequently to getting it out on the toilet. Like it's not going to be perfect, and there will be some amount of.
I see.
And I mean, that's, look, to your point, like if you have sex with a woman, she sits on the toilet and then you have sex again.
Yeah.
There's still obviously semen is still in there, and you can just tell because it feels
it sloshes a little.
Well, I would just say it's lubricated more than you.
Oh, I thought that was just because she was so aroused by me wanting to go for round two.
It could be both. Yeah. But I'm going to guess that there's like, but that's, so I mean, you could like sort of have that fluid in there. Obviously, you know, the natural process is going to sort of cause there to be discharge that will get rid of various things that are put in there eventually.
I was just trying to come up with,
I don't think it's really going to be absorbed. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with some other failure mode other than that she's not peeing it out enough.
I think that she's incontinent. So what's happening is,
so other women can somehow pinch it in and she can't?
No, she's incontinent.
Oh, you think it's not cum. You think right.
I think it's squirt. Yeah, I think that she's having
not
sex.
Not touching that today.
She's there. It's very vigorous, and it's kind of loosening up her her muscles, and there's a little bit of something leaking out of her. And
48 hours, she's pissing herself.
Could be. I mean,
she could tell the difference between urine and what she described as pussy juice and semen combo?
Well, first of all, I think it would have, I mean, given the area of the anatomy it needs to travel through, it would pick up all manner of funk. So the smell and so forth. And then secondly, look, here's where the beliefs on squirting actually sort of operate to our benefit, or my benefit, at least on this. If women can't tell the difference between urine and squirt, right? Famously, they think squirt is something different.
That's because they're the same thing.
Okay. Well, no, you know what I mean? They think that the squirt is somehow different than urine.
True.
So when there's something dripping down her leg.
I see what you're doing. This is a good sleight of hand. Go on.
Right. When there's something dripping down her leg, she thinks, oh, this is semen. This is something else. It's probably just, look, that's the main source of large amounts of fluid in that area. And another thing is because
the bladder.
Because of the positioning of the urethra versus the vagina, it could be not totally clear to her what's going on. Look, if there was a large amount coming out, obviously she would, feel that she was peeing. But it could be a very small amount. As a guy, you could experience this. Let's say you have to pee really, really badly. You might not be totally sure if a little bit came out or not. You just know the area is full.
I guess.
You've never been in an
emergency
peeing situation where you weren't positive whether there was a little bit of pee that had gotten out of your penis or not?
I feel like when I really need to pee, mm-hmm. once I start, it's happening.
Really? You don't feel like you can...
It's not like pooping where... What's the expression? It's turtling. Have you heard this expression before?
Go on.
The poop just pokes its head out a little bit of your colon.
Sure. Yeah,
it's not like that. With pee, it's like you either hold all of it back or it's Niagara Falls.
I don't think that's right for me. I think I've had I've had situations where a little bit.
I must have better prostate control. Makes sense. I'm younger.
Probably. Yes. Prostate and or bladder.
Well, or memory.
PC muscles.
We're remembering differently.
Yeah, it's unclear. I mean, but you... Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you would know exactly. I think that a woman might be unclear on exactly where are the foods. By the way, it could also be her natural lubrication. She might just be naturally very lubricating.
It could be.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. The advice in the comments is not great. I mean, people say use a panty liner. That makes sense. But people say get up pretty quickly after, pee every time and spend a few extra minutes on the toilet pushing it out. This person says, I take vaginal probiotics every day to keep myself in a good place to fight off any pH upsets like semen.
So that's for the smell, for the general kind of grossness there.
I've heard a lot about vaginal pH, and there are soaps that advertise that they are balanced in a special way.
Okay. Sounds like those organic deodorants you were decrying earlier.
Yeah. I have a story about this that I'm not going to tell on this episode. I want to talk to you offline about whether you think I can tell it. It's a little tantalizing for our listeners here. But all right, let's move on to the next thing anyway.
Yeah.
This person wonders about sex toys during a one-night stand. Hi, everyone. I recently split up with my girlfriend and I'm slowly opening up to the dating world again. I recently had a one-night stand with a girl I met at a nearby bar. Oh, good for him. Our sex was okay, but I felt like something was missing. Me and my girlfriend always tried lots of stuff like ball gags, handcuffs, etc.
All right.
And I get that this might require some amount of trust. She and I were also really into massage wands, and I feel like this would help with the quote-unquote missing part. Question: how would you feel if someone would bring this up in a one-night stand situation or even use it by surprise?
What's a massage wand?
I don't know.
It's not a cattle prod, right? It's not an electric
massage wand. Presumably it's a sex toy.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be one of those things that vibrates.
Oh, it's just a vibrator.
Right.
It's like a powerful vibrator.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, there's an obvious problem in a one-night stand situation. I think that most women are going to be a little nonplussed if you take them to your dungeon during your one-night stand. So the ball gag, I mean, any of these things, the ball gag probably has been in someone else's mouth. So there's that. Women probably there's not a huge...
It's incredible that your mind went there. The first comment went there too, which is like, you got to be really sure that you're cleaning up these toys in between each use, because it's already weird if it's the same person. But if it's a different person and you're using the same ball gag, it's like, well.
Well, what are the odds? I mean, I think in general, look, there is not a very good used market for sex toys.
I feel like with sex toys, you want to see the original packaging before using it.
Yeah, I think in general, the women who are having a sex toy used upon them would love it if you took it out of the package and then washed it in front of them. So he could do that.
Yeah, dip it in acid and then, you know, whatever you can do to maximally clean it. He could.
Like, if he could,
like,
either...
That's not the issue. The issue is that this fucking weirdo that you just met at the bar suddenly brings out the dungeon kit. And, you know, if you haven't had, like, lengthy conversations and established some trust, I think most women are going to balk.
Start crying. Yeah.
Be nonplussed, as you say.
Even the vibrator, which is a nice idea,
yeah,
I think he's going to have trouble with, because the woman isn't in this one night stand or first encounter expecting to get pleasured that much.
No.
She's trying to increase the odds of a second encounter with you. She likes you.
I think we don't need to litigate this now, but lots of women, I think, have one night stands for some sort of sexual pleasure. I understand what you're saying, where many women aren't expecting really to get that much pleasure from first. Like, they expect first sex to be bad in a way that men don't.
Right.
Like, men are like maximally excited. Like, first sex is usually pretty great.
But you're postulating there's some women out there that just want to get off. They need a guy to get off and they go find him.
I don't know if it's even get off. It's like,
okay,
have sexual affection.
That makes sense to me, but it's the same thing in that, like, I'm not sure they're going to expect to have an orgasm.
The point that they're not expecting to have an orgasm is well taken.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if they, like, but the thing is, they would, in such an encounter, the way I would expect them to get off is with their hand or their own toy, not with a strange toy that's introduced by the other guy. Right. So it's kind of like a nice, he's trying.
Look, the recipe for getting an individual woman off, you know, giving her an orgasm is very particular. It's not like men, where they're going to orgasm 99.999, I can keep going, percent of the time. Like, women...
I don't totally... I mean, oh, that's true, but I mean, the recipe...
Even if they're in the right headspace, in my experience, women have sort of one or two or maybe three ways that they can reach orgasm during a sexual encounter with a man. Some can orgasm at the drop of a hat, but most cannot, and need, like, sort of a specific set of circumstances to get there.
Yeah, I just want to say that, I mean, if people listen to our previous episode, some of the things you described in terms of the way you reach orgasm in situations with women, I think if I was a woman, I'd be a little surprised by. So it is possible for men to have.
What are you referring to?
This is the thing where you wanted to discuss where you should put your semen in an early encounter.
Yeah.
And some of the things you described were not, I don't think, things that most guys do. So that is showing some variety of experience. If people are curious about Keith's unusual is the wrong word, just like his own individuality on this, they can listen to episode, whatever, 162. But I agree with you in general that there's more individuality for women. That's right.
Sorry, the probability that his set of keys will unlock her lock is pretty low. Even if he has, you know, this portfolio of sex toys at his disposal. Lots of women don't even like sex toys.
Right. If he did this 1,000 times, I think almost it's either like 0, 1, or 2 women would be delighted to see, even the vibrator. Right. Might be 0.
Yeah.
Because if nothing else, through like social conditioning, but I also think like the cleanliness aspect, they'd just be like, well, like, did you just pull that out of your ass? Like, what,
right.
Where has this been? I guess you could put a condom over it. But that's also kind of icky, because it just suggests so much forethought. I was like, oh, so you're doing this now. You've got your the whole system down.
That reminds me, I read a Reddit post considering it for the show, but ultimately discarded it. But a wife discovered her husband using her sex toys and
in his ass.
She got a UTI and she wondered if he was cleaning her sex toy properly.
Well, for more like rubbery
silicone-y.
Yeah, silicone-y rubbery dildos. You're supposed to, like, I think actually it's recommended to use a condom on them to avoid that issue.
Okay, but nobody actually does that. What is, what do people know? Actually do they use like hand sanitizer?
They get a UTI. Oh, hand sanitizer. They use they use hand sanitizer. I mean, I think you could for sure if you like boiled it, or you wouldn't even need to boil it. You could just put it in hot. People can correct me on this, but I think like 130, 140 degree water for a period of time, that'll kill everything.
Pasteurize the particles.
No, I mean, if you want to make sure all the bacteria, whatever, are dead, that'll do it. I have read before that like the quote unquote recommended thing is a condom, and then you go, well, why don't? Well, I get it. It's because the material is a little bit absorbent, and so now you're in this problem where it's like it has pores. You can't totally clean it out. And yeah, if I found out, if I was a woman and I found out my husband had been sticking these things up his butt and gave me a disease or like a UTI, that would be sort of irritating.
Sort of irritating is putting it mildly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why doesn't he get his own?
I mean,
was he doing it by himself or was it? No, it must have been. Yeah, he was by himself. He was alone.
There was. And the thread talked about how she actually approached him about it and he like totally shut down. And then I was like, yeah, this is a little sad. That's why I discarded it.
Well, it would be. I mean, if in that type of situation, I think that's what the guy would do, is to refuse to talk about it because it's so embarrassing.
She said that she was totally fine with it. And
yeah. But he's not. If he were totally fine with it, he would have brought it up to her. Like, oh, hey, there's this, I want this thing up my butt.
Yeah, but I mean, it's particularly rude to use someone else's sex toys.
That's right. Well, he might be saving money. He might.
Very thrifty.
Well, you know, you got to be realistic. This is, we live in the post-Trump America, the rich and poor gap. So there are some people that.
Yeah, what does a dildo cost these days with inflation? Like inflation's 30, up again, bucks. I saw.
Yeah. Hmm. Dildos probably going up constantly. I know you'd think the prices on this stuff would be going up, but I've noticed that the girls on Cam Girl Problems, is it Cam Girl? Whatever. There's that subreddit for women who are cam girls.
Yeah.
Are constantly complaining that they get fewer tokens right now, which I just take to mean like guys are being stingier or they're all unattractive or something. I don't know.
Or maybe other kinds of porn have become more compelling.
Maybe it's the AI apocalypse is happening to the candles. Yeah. I'm not sure if we're there yet.
I don't know if we're there yet. It's coming so soon, Mike.
Yes.
Like I feel like it should be measured in months, not years.
The AI, the Apple Vision Pro combined with something is going to.
I mean, you can tell, I mean, it's not released to the public yet, but you can give a prompt to ChatGPT and it will generate a video. Right. I mean, how far can we be from what men really want there?
Well, I saw an article like yesterday, I think, about teenagers. I don't want to see teen porn. So let me just say that up front. Uh-huh. I was curious about the tool. I wanted to see the tool.
Sure thing.
Teenagers basically taking pictures of classmates and then using those to make pornographic pictures via AI.
Yeah, there are already lots of services where you can upload pictures of yourself. In fact, I've been getting advertisements for this on Instagram.
Okay.
I can upload pictures of myself and then it will make dating app photos for me. So it'll show me doing like fun things with friends and whatever they think the optimal dating profile pictures look like, it'll generate for you.
I never even thought of that one.
Okay. Kind of clever, huh?
You haven't tried it?
I haven't. I mean, I should.
Well, I assume
I'm pretty happy with my dating photos and I've heard good things about them. So, and I've vetted them on PhotoFeeler and other places. So I don't think that's my mitigating factor here.
Yeah, no, it would just be interesting to see how good they are. I mean, they may not be that good yet, but they will be.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. The point we're making here is that this is coming. I actually have a AI topic.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
This person says, I shared my STD test results with a potential sex partner, and they ran my results through an AI app that incorrectly flagged my document as being doctored. I have two concerns. First, does that mean my private, unredacted STD results are now stored in some public database with my name and address completely visible? That can't be legal to store and publish my HIPAA-protected health information, can it? Yes, it does. Now, it's highly unlikely that would ever see the light of day, but if you have a friend that works at that AI company, they could potentially see it. Second, the person claimed that the AI app that they used reported that dates and test results in my document had been tampered with. I literally gave them the unaltered PDF. Okay, I'm not interested in talking about why the AI might have been confused here. We know that AI hallucinates. But this sounds like a fairly sophisticated woman to think to use an AI to check. Now, she might be lying. The AI might not have said. I think the AI would say, I can't tell if this has been doctored. But I can imagine an AI hallucinating and say, yes, it looks like this has been doctored.
I still don't understand what the AI did. So the point of the AI, go ahead, yeah?
He uploaded his STD results. Okay. He says he uploaded, or he sent her the actual PDF.
Okay.
So he uploaded a PDF to ChatGPT. I think ChatGPT can take images. I presume it can take PDFs.
Yeah.
And then the prompt she gave it was probably, does this look like it's been altered?
And it said and yes.
That's sort of a clever thing. I mean, I it has occurred to me that you could change the date on STD results.
Sure.
So if somebody was like, oh, I'd like us to get tested before we have sex, you could just...
Is this not... So hang on, because
you could just not get tested and then change the date on an old result.
So the protocol for this remains... I assume the real protocol is you just say, hey, I was tested, and people don't look. That's probably
the number one protocol is nobody appears, people don't talk about.
Okay, fine. That's number one. Number two
number
would be...
Number two is you say...
Right.
You're clean. And then three, which is the thing that people should actually do, is you say, okay, let's both get tested and then we'll share our results and then we'll
But you have this problem. So when you've been in a relationship where you get to level three, what is the protocol? Is it a PDF that you share? Is it a, hey, I'll log on in front of you so you can see that I'm on the site?
The recommendation everybody had on the subreddit was, don't send her your actual results, just show her on your phone.
What do you do? I'm just curious or is this so seldom, does it get
this
to
this
doesn't
point? Come up very often. I can imagine me sending a screenshot in the past.
Okay. I was just curious because this seems like a problem that could, it seems like a problem that could be like sort of solved, right? Because I mean, all you really need is like the ability for the person to go to the third party website and
they should generate a token or something.
Yes. It seems not that complicated to solve.
A one-time use token or something.
Yeah. There's some link that you click and it shows you the person's name, date of birth, a few other things and the results. And presumably it's from this trusted source. So, you know,
They could watermark it in some way too. Anyway. Yeah. This is a solvable problem.
I don't want to like go too far on this, but you could put it on the blockchain too. An immutable STI ledger.
Yeah, but you would have to see that it was placed there by the medical center.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, of course you wouldn't want that because then it would be public. The blockchain is also public. I saw a TikTok the other day of a woman. It was kind of a sad story that she, like in 2018, got a really bad flu for like a month, and then she got pregnant this last year and learned that because she's in the UK and when you get pregnant, there's a battery of tests that everybody kind of is required to get. And she learned that she's HIV positive. So basically back in like 2018, 2017, something like that, someone gave her HIV. And the typical thing that happens when you get HIV, it's very common to get like kind of a flu-like reaction.
Yes. It's a pretty bad flu, apparently. Yeah.
And so she got that. And it's just, it's, and of course, you know, this is a terrible way to find out because then there's the whole issue of like, will it be passed on to her kid? And like, you know, well, it's just a terrible situation all around. But it just underlines the reality of this stuff. Like, presumably she just had sex with some guy that didn't know he was positive probably. And there you go.
So
this kind of stuff can happen.
Yeah. I wonder if she, I mean, it's sort of next level to put it through an AI app. And if it flagged, this person goes on to say that the person went nuts on them and called him like a dirty liar and he didn't have a chance to say, hey, the AI might have had a false positive. Now, she might have been lying about the AI having a false positive, but sort of weird that she asked him to get an STD test in the first place. But maybe she got cold feet and this was her way out.
I wouldn't think that an AI would be that good at telling you if a document's been doctored like that. That seems.
I think what it's looking for, Mike, is the kerning around the letters. Not okay. Kerning. Kerning is something in a font. The
it's like the spacing, the top and bottom spacing, left and right.
No, like if you like manually edit like a JPEG, uh-huh, then the compression artifacts around the edited text,
sure,
will look like, I think this is something that an AI could actually very easily tell. If it was an egregious forging.
Yeah. Also because the person would do it in the simplest possible way. They just take a screenshot and like use MS Paint or whatever,
right,
crappy software that, right, have to like paste over a nod. Right. Yeah, who would that? That's pretty. Is that sociopathic? I guess to
what, doctor, run it through an AI.
No, to doctor an STI test. That's because you've gone to you've said, okay, fine, I'll do it. I'll do the test, and then you lie. And by the way, it would have to. I guess it would have to be herpes or HIV because it would have to be something not fixable. Like nobody would ever presumably do that for like gonorrhea, because you could just say, look,
or chlamydia. And most people who get one of those things get tested again after to make sure that the antibiotics worked.
Sure. So, although I guess you could imagine somebody doing that if they have it, they got the antibiotics and they want, because you just wait till you got a negative test and then that's the test you would show.
So yeah, although there could be date discrepancies because you tested negative for all the other things before and now there's this one thing a month later.
This is so adversarial that it feels to me the claim is this is a couple that was dating. This feels like an escort situation to me because it's so adversarial.
Yeah,
like I'm willing to basically do anything to fuck this hot chick that I'm paying for, including lying about this. And also an escort would be more likely to do things like put it through an AI and be suspicious like that, right? Because she's used to all kinds of wool being pulled over her eyes.
Yeah, but if the AI was often getting this wrong, it wouldn't have been the first time she'd experienced this.
Well, maybe it's just the first, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he did doctor it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no insight into how this kind of stuff works with like an escort. If they say, hey, I want a recent STI test.
Yeah. Is there a caliber of escort that will have condomless sex with you if you produce a STI?
The claim on the Having Fun Hobbying subreddit, which is now dead, but it was folks who would frequent escorts.
Yeah.
Was that basically all escorts will have condomless sex with you. That was the claim, is that the...
Yeah, but those folks are not getting the $10,000 call girl.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's a fair point.
But I would think the $10,000 call girl would be extra safe. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. I mean, generally, STI tests...
Because if you're a $10,000 call girl, you probably have a few Johns. If you mess up once and give all of them an STI, like it's probably really hard to cultivate a book of business again.
Well, yeah. And your time and everything is just way too valuable at that point. So you think, and also as a guy, if you're paying that much money, you kind of, you'd be like, hey, why don't we just do this? And they do have, I don't know why, but I know that there's this thing called talent testing, TTI, talent testing S service. Anyway, it's this thing where you can basically, it's for porn stars and you can get tested like kind of quickly. You go in and I don't know how quickly the results come back, but it's fast. 48 hours, some very quick time turnaround, because for a porn star, you would need that, right? Because they get tested weekly, monthly, like really.
Weekly. I briefly dated that porn star years ago and I don't remember the details, but there were different companies and some companies had much more stringent, onerous requirements than others. And if you got, I don't remember exactly, but if you got an actor from one of these studios and one from another, there were complicated negotiated agreements. They basically all operated in a safety polycule.
Yeah. So check this out. It's talent testing service. I'm not sure why I know this. I'm not a porn star.
Right.
Sadly.
Except that guy that it was certain that you were, that we met on the...
Yeah, we did meet a guy, but he was, it was a man, and he definitely thought I was a gay porn star. So not what I wanted to be.
Yeah. He was sort of sheepish in the conversation, but he was certain.
But so these guys, so a couple things about it, talent testing service, this is what should exist probably, you know, culture wide, because they have a system where you have an account, you can make your results available to an agent. Like it's, I mean, you can just see on the site that it's nicely set up. So you can you can sort of share them, in a way that people will trust it because it's coming from the site. But it says, for example, if they pick up in Miami at 7 a.m. Eastern time, they will get you results. They'll get the results same day by 1:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Nice.
So you can.
Right, so they have access to centrifuges or whatever they need to do the testing.
And it depends. Well, yeah, they're sending the stuff. So, I mean, they have Las Vegas, Northridge, which is in near LA, Orlando. So they basically have like these sites.
Where else?
They've got Miami, Las Vegas, Northridge,
New York,
Orlando, Fort Lauderdale. No.
I bet there's legal requirements keeping them out of New York.
I'm thinking it's where porns tend to be filmed.
Yeah.
Las Vegas is great. I mean, really, like
Vegas and LA makes sense. Maybe there's a porn filming community in Orlando. I don't know about.
But if you get your blood drawn by 4 p.m. by 4 p.m. in Las Vegas, you don't get the data until 7 a.m. the next day. So you're not going to be fucking.
You're out of commission for a night. You can just forge the date.
Yeah, and I'm yeah. Well, but the whole point of this thing is not to do that. And if look, they'll probably come to your studio or whatever. Like if you were a high-end escort, this is actually a really nice, I would recommend this.
Yeah, that seems like a good service. Does it have cost?
Let's see here. I'm sure. Well, you can purchase testing credits. I'm not immediately seeing. Oh, no, here it is. $190.
$190 for
the gold standard panel. It's $190. But that includes $35 for shipping.
Shipping.
Because they do for the gold. Then you can go up from that for $240. You add in a throat swab and a rectal swab.
Yeah, when I got my last STD test, they asked if I wanted to get a throat swab.
No rectal swab though.
And a rectal swab, and I said no and no, and they were like, "Well, we really recommend." I was like, "I understand, but I'm a heterosexual man, so."
I understand what the rectal swab is for. What's the throat swab for? Do they explain?
There's something, I don't know if it was herpes or gonorrhea or chlamydia. There was something that could
linger
and live in your mouth as well.
But your general thought was that was for men who give oral.
I looked it up and it's not really necessary for heterosexual men.
And for our international listeners, there also is these people also have an office in Budapest.
That's a shock, of course. Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up. That'll do it for this episode of Your Mileage May Vary. You can send us feedback or questions to ymmvpod@gmail.com. If you ask us a question, let us know if you don't want us to use it on the air. Again, that's ymmvpod@gmail.com. We pay $10 for any and all feedback received, so... Just let us have it. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on Your Mileage May Vary. Je me goûte.